I've got a copy of your book here, and so tell us a little bit about yourself and how you actually rode the storms, right? You know, life is kind of ups and downs, and, you know, we just have to look at it as how do we get through it, right?
I think I've had a pretty interesting and adventurous life and a lot of experiences and a few near-death experiences for myself and my wife both, but here we still are, and we keep on going and on with the show.
Right. Well, let's start off for my listeners. Tell them a little bit about who you are.
I'm an MD and a PhD. Did my MD at Boston University and PhD in biophysics at Berkeley. And I started out in my younger days being a sort of wild and crazy guy who spent 30,000 miles hitchhiking in North America. And my last job before going to medical school in Boston was being a commercial halibut fisherman in Kodiak, Alaska.
And, that must have been
so that's
fun.
A little bit of a detour from the usual face in the books routine that it takes to go through med school and grad school, but that's who I was. And I wound up pursuing some interest I had in high-tech medicine and physics as a medical scientist at Lawrence Berkeley Lab up in the Bay Area. And I've been sort of a pioneer in a lot of high-tech medicine with particle accelerators, the simple version of which is a proton sensor, which probably more and more of the people are hearing about now, and much more I could say, but please interrupt me.
I want to interrupt you. You've said twice now, this is Gina you're talking to, the high-tech medicine. Can you kind of just explain those few words?
Okay. I work with charged particle accelerators where big machines are able to accelerate particles of proton mass or greater, that is the nuclei of hydrogen, helium, carbon atoms, things of that nature, and then aim them at humans with millimeter accuracy to treat targets inside the pretty much anywhere in the body for the purposes of treating cancers and some other life-threatening disorders of the brain that are not cancers like vascular malformations. So it's a
sort of like
a high-tech video game using super fancy machines.
And obviously this is, we're looking for cures here for like cancer. You think there's a chance for certain cancers there'd be a cure for that?
The answer is yes. All of it is in the world of probability because you can never guarantee the results for any one patient, but we've had very great advances in achieving cures and controls for many types of tumors, and for still other types, there's still progress and work that is underway. So I don't think of this as the magic bullet, but I think of it as one of the major steps forward in the advancement of medical treatment.
That's just really exciting, and I think that can give a lot of people some hope for the future.
Right. Now, I know you have a personal journey that you went on really with your wife, right? And had to treat it. You know, it's funny when life kind of hits us here. You're professional and you're, you know, an MD and a PhD, and then all of a sudden you have to deal with your own stuff in your own family. Talk to us a little bit about that, how you work from outside the box.
Specifically with regards to my wife, even though I'm a neuroscientist and have been for many years, I somehow was oblivious to the seriousness of the major depression issues that my wife was going through personally. And I only discovered this back in February of 08 when I was driving home from being away at the beach area with our daughter for a bit and found her laying in bed at 7:30 and unresponsive, and quickly realized that she had made a serious attempt to kill herself by overdosing on over-the-counter pills, which was not an easy thing to figure out given how abundant she was. But that was one of actually several serious suicide attempts that she did have over the next several months, for which on each occasion I was a frontline responder. So although I've had practice being a frontline responder for other people over the decades in my field as an oncologist and in my earlier days in emergency room and things like that, it's still a different story when it's your own beloved spouse that is in front of you and you're the only one there.
And maybe that's why you just weren't kept to it right away, because
you don't want to believe that there's something going on, right?
I think there's a natural denial, or almost everybody has their own little personality quirks.
Mm-hmm.
And as somebody who's dealt with that stuff for decades and decades, I was remiss in realizing the seriousness of the mental adversity that my own wife was going through, even though we were always on good terms with each other and still are.
Are you still married with her?
Yes, we're newlyweds of only 31 years.
And, I love it. Great. And so what advice, and let me just remind anybody that's just tuning in right now that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We're talking about journeys here. Myself, I'm Kim. I'm here with Jeannie Michael. And we're talking with Dr. Levy, and his book is Ride the Storms, The Journey Taken on a Road Less Traveled. What is your thought on the road less traveled? What does that mean to you?
Essentially, big portions of my life have been pursuing my own dreams and imagination rather than following the so-called standard approach to doing anything. And that's what led me as a younger man to do the 30,000 miles of hitchhiking around North America, including how I got to Alaska the first time. And I had my own car and I had enough money to buy gas, but that didn't seem a real adventure. And then being a halibut fisherman, and then even after getting into med school, after 4 years of trying with 99 rejections, primarily because I spent my freshman year in college as a 17-year-old being a stoner instead of a studier. And that even though I was a superstar after that, that first year got averaged in over and over again no matter what. So by the time I finally got in, I had already pretty much given up on going to medical school and decided I'd rather pursue a career in sciences, and I already knew that Berkeley was going to accept me for a PhD work in biophysics. And then when I found out I got into med school, it was almost a reluctant, oh crap, I better go there first and then move back to it. So 7 years later, after 4 years of med school and 3 years of my first residency, which was internal medicine, I went away from all the recommendations made to me about pursuing fellowships and this, that, or the other thing, like cardiology, pulmonary, etc., and said, no thanks, I'm going to go to Berkeley and pursue my dream because that's what I wanted to do in the first place. And so I think I was animated somewhat by having been rejected by medical school 99 times, so that was my way of saying, well, hey, now I reject you, I'm going to do it my own way.
But you never gave up. You knew that you had a dream, and I think that's just
exactly
awesome.
And what was that, I mean, if you could share with my listeners, what was it that made you never give up?
I think a lot of it has been my personality from being a little kid, and I have to give my own parents a lot of credit, who are now deceased, a lot of credit for teaching me that the only way to accomplish anything was to work hard and to keep on working hard and to keep trying and trying again no matter what. And even though it was never quite lectured to me in a didactic fashion of that nature, that's somehow what I picked up as the way it was supposed to be. So rather than whine or complain about anything, the answer was always work harder and do it.
Wow. Wow, that's big. So now what kind of advice have you been able to help, others dealing with major depressions and suicide thoughts since you have that with your wife?
The first thing I would say is to listen and communicate with your loved one in a very open way and with an open ears and an open mind, because even people who seemingly can have the most ideal life, as I thought my wife did because she was a smart, beautiful, nice person, and we have three wonderful kids who have grown up nicely into young adulthood. But even under those circumstances, sometimes bad thoughts can kick in. And I think that the logical thing is to maybe be more aware and be more attentive to people, even when they're making complaints that you think may be a little bit weird. Sometimes that can be the clue to pay attention. So I think the first step to dealing with any serious problem is you have to recognize that it's there.
Mm-hmm. Well, depression, too, is everybody, you just know it's not the easiest thing to detect sometimes. Sometimes people are pretty good foolers because they have good days and bad days, and some days they have these really highs, and they ride that out for a while, and then all of a sudden they're low, but you don't really realize how low they are.
You're quite right, and that's fooled me, even though I really was a pretty high-level neuroscientist before all this happened, because my work for decades was treating patients with brain disorders, although in my case, there was always a target to aim at, either a vascular malformation in the brain that was subject to potential bleeding or causing seizures, or brain tumors of the primary or metastatic nature, but there was something that you could see on scans to aim at, and even with all of my background, I somehow was oblivious to the inner demons that were affecting my wife, who I knew quite well, I thought, for so many decades.
Wow, amazing. You know, because there is a lot of, you know, what's happening now is not so much adult, but actually a lot of younger kids are trying to, you know, hurt themselves. And so what would you add to that?
I'd say the first thing is for parents, especially, and for spouses and friends of any age, to be aware that serious depression and suicidal thoughts and potential actions are actually much wider spread than we often give credit for being the case. You know, so much of it over the decades has been sort of hushed up because in many cases there's been sort of a stigma associated with mental illness. And my thought is that you have to look at mental illness without a stigma, but think of it in the same way that you would not choose to vilify somebody with breast cancer, arthritis, or asthma.
So it's just
mental illness is a serious disease that doesn't mean that somebody is a bad person. It means they need help.
Exactly.
I like that. What are we going to find in your book, Dr. Levy? Ride the Storms, Lessons of the Journey Taken on a Road Less Traveled.
Essentially, it's my memoirs presented as truthfully as can possibly be. And mentioned in that is also a very detailed story about the difficulties that my wife and I went through in 08. And all of that, by the way, was done with her specific permission and her editorial approval, because I was well aware that even though I've had an interesting life in other ways with stories I think are worth telling, I didn't want to violate my wife's privacy and confidentiality issues on something so sensitive without her explicit permission, which in fact she gave and read everything. And even though she doesn't remember all of the details of it because of the state of mind she was in, she did give her specific approval. But I didn't want your listeners to think that my book is specifically dedicated to dealing with the severity of mental illness and suicide attempts. It's really a story about the various adventures and trials and tribulations of my own life, from having been to 49 U.S. states and 6 continents and had all these adventurous things with academia and dealt with a lot of the sort of dirty politics and other crap that is often present at the highest level universities. But the intention overall is to try to be inspirational to people who are dealing with adversity, to say that sometimes even when things look really bleak, if you keep trying and keep trying, there's the possibility that you can break through to the other side. And my intention was to try to inspire others who are dealing with their own adversities of any kind to not give up and keep trying, as well as being available to help others who may need it.
That's what I got from your whole, just reading the different chapters of, you know, you're just kind of a world traveler, and you were just kind of almost not wandering, but in a way, and just looking. You knew you had this dream, and you wanted to pinpoint what that dream was, and you certainly did.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for being our guest here on my show, Kim Pagano Show.
May I say just before we go that for those readers who may be interested in looking into more, I did develop a website that people can check out if they wanted to find out more about it and pathways to it, and that's essentially RideTheStorms.com, and people who are interested could find what they need to in there without me elaborating further on the air.
Very good. And what is that?
The name of the website?
Yes.
The name of my book, Ride the Storms, no spaces, RideTheStorms.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Well, thanks for having me on, and enjoy the rest of the beautiful day.
Uh-huh. You got it. And happy Father's Day.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, all right.